puts everyone here tonight. We're going to look this evening at Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11 is sometimes called a great chapter on faith, sometimes called the roll call of the faithful, and for different reasons. And it is a discussion of faith and what it requires. And tonight we're going to look at Hebrews chapter 11, beginning at verse 23. Hebrews 11, beginning at verse 23. It says, "By faith Moses, when he was born, was hidden 3 months by his parents, because they saw that he was a beautiful child, and they were not afraid of the king's command. By faith Moses, when he became of age, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures of Egypt, for he looked into the reward. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. By faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, as he who destroyed the firstborn should touch them. By faith they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, whereas the Egyptians attempting to do so were drowned." Now, the book of Hebrews in chapter 11 is an account that is given as an example to the people of the writer's day. We don't know who the writer of Hebrews was, but it was in his day, in the time, middle or late part of the first century A.D. There are many who were faithful to God under the law. Then Christ came, and they believed, and they obeyed the gospel of Christ. And some were being, many were being persecuted for the sake of Christ. And some that thought, well, if we're being persecuted and we're trying to be faithful to God under the new law, well, why don't we just go back to the old law, and then we won't be persecuted anymore? Well, the Hebrew writer wrote for the whole purpose of explaining to them why that's not right, that everything we have in Christ is better, because everything from the old looks forward to the new. All through the book of Hebrews, it says we have a better law, a better covenant, a better Savior, and all of these different things, that's described that we have that's better under the new than they had under the old. And so the point for the book of Hebrews to them is to understand that, yes, you're being persecuted now, but you're going to overcome, and eventually you're going to have eternal life. So the book of Hebrews in particular, that's the whole kind of overview of it. But chapter 11 is a discussion of certain ones who, because of their faith, they acted upon that faith in spite of the difficulties, in spite of persecution, in spite of even facing death, if you read on through through the end of the chapter. But Moses, of course, is one that we look at here in Hebrews chapter 11, beginning verse 23. And Moses is one of those who is discussed, and it goes back all the way to Abel, who was righteous, and he was killed by his brother Cain. And it mentions Noah, it mentions several others, Abraham and others throughout this 11th chapter of Hebrews. But like us today, we look at this and realize that, and we take Moses as the example here, that he lived in a corrupt world. He was born into Egypt during the time when the Israelites were slaves in Egypt. And we're not going to go back and talk about the whole reason why he became what he was in Egypt. He was miraculously delivered from that. God caused that to happen. So he became raised in Pharaoh's place as Pharaoh's grandson, the son of Pharaoh's daughter. And so he was a great man. By the time he was grown, he was considered to be part of the family of Pharaoh himself, the king of Egypt. And so he could have stayed in that condition, and he could have stayed there and had every power and glory and wealth and everything of the empire of Egypt, but he chose not to do that. But we look at that and realize that he lived as we do today also in a world that is corrupted by sin. Well, they were surrounded by sin in Egypt. They had hundreds, even thousands of different idols and things they worshipped. They worshipped the sun, they worshipped the moon, the stars. They worshipped all kinds of things. And Moses could have stayed with that and lived probably a long life and been very wealthy and powerful. Maybe even he could have been Pharaoh himself. But he gave that up. So how did he live through it, and how was he faithful when these things happened? Well, several things we look at. One thing, Moses never lost faith. Now, if you look back at Hebrews 11, verse 23, it says, "By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hidden 3 months by his parents because they saw he was a beautiful child, and they were not afraid of the king's command." But it wasn't Moses' faith. It was faith of his parents that caused them to be able to hide him, so that the decree of Pharaoh to kill the baby boys that were born into the Israelite nation, and he was delivered. And of course, it was no accident that he eventually ended up in Pharaoh's household with his mother as the one to raise him. And so God's providence, God's work was there. But notice it came by faith. By faith, and each one of these things in Hebrews 11 says by faith is how it begins, but it says this is what they did based upon that faith. So Moses acted according to the faith which was passed down to him, more through his mother than anyone else, because she's the one that took care of him as he was being raised in Pharaoh's household. If you go back to verse 6 of chapter 11, it says, "Without faith, it is impossible to please God. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him." In other words, God wants to have us to be faithful to him. Without faith, we cannot please God. And that faith has to be one that leads us to an action. Well, that's what happened to Moses. Moses believed in God's promises. He believed that God was going to take care of him. And if you look at Romans 11 and verse 22, the Apostle Paul, he's not talking specifically about Moses, but the idea is there. He says, "Therefore consider the goodness and the severity of God on those who fell," that's in the wilderness, severity, "but to you goodness, if you continue in his goodness, otherwise you also will be cut off." Moses, he didn't know that Paul was going to write that 1,500 years later, but he did understand the righteousness, the faith, and the love of God, as opposed to the severity of God to those who rejected him. So Moses was able to live through the corrupt world in which he was born into because he believed in God and he believed in his promises. He believed that if God said something was going to happen, that it would, that God would take care of it. Moses also chose his companions wisely. Go back to Hebrews 11, verse 24. "By faith Moses, when he became of age, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter." Now again, he could have stayed like he was. He could have had a life of wealth and power and fame and everything else. In fact, everything that people in most people's lives think is the most important things, wealth, power, fame, whatever it may be, he could have had all of those things. But notice he says, "choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin." He chose to suffer with the faithful, those who believed in God, those who were willing to take God at his word that he was going to take care of his people and he was going to deliver them and bring them back to their land eventually, which God had promised Abraham. And so he was willing to enjoy, he was not willing to enjoy the pleasures of sin in Egypt, which he could have done, but he didn't. He says he chose rather to suffer affliction with the people of God. Now, after a while, and Moses chose to help out the fellow Israelites, and finally he killed an Egyptian, and he had to flee from the country and was in the wilderness 40 years for their herding sheep and goats and other things for all that time before God chose him and brought him back. But Moses chose to do what was right, even though there was no promise that this was going to be a better life for him. But God chose him because he was willing to serve him. We have to be like Moses and be careful about who we have as our companions. In 1 Corinthians 15:33, the Bible tells us that evil companionships corrupt good. One translation says habits, another says morals. And in other words, if we choose to run with people who do not believe in God or not faithful to him and want to lead us astray, that's going to have an ill effect on us after a while. We have to be careful about those things. In fact, we're the ones that need to be the influence on other people, not the other way around. But Moses chose wisely to be with those who wanted to be with and to follow the Lord. And he did so. And you go back and read through the book of Exodus and you'll find about Moses and why he made those choices. And then even though he didn't always serve God perfectly, as none of us do, God still kept Moses as his the most important man in some ways of all of the Old Testament. Because it's through Moses that God gave his law and took his people to their land. Moses knew that the sin's pleasures were only temporary. Notice it says in verse 25, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin. Now, sin often brings pleasure, but it only lasts for a while. And then eventually, it's going to go away. And Moses understood that. I'm sure he was taught by his mother, and maybe his father also, if he had much contact with him. But he was taught the truth of God. Now, the law had not yet been given, but still they understood who the true God was, who had called Abraham. They knew of the promise that God gave to Abraham, that his descendants, they would be a separate people from the world around them. And so Moses would have understood that much and known that much. Sin, again, provides sometimes immediate pleasure and gratification, but it's not going to last. It's going to pass away. First John chapter 2 and verse 15. John says, "Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him." Now notice how this applies to what Moses did. He chose not to enjoy all the pleasures of sin in Egypt. He didn't love the world. There was something more important. John says, "Do not love the world, neither the things of the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world is passing away in the lust of it, but he who does the will of God abides forever." So there's the choice that Moses made right there. He provides an example for us. Yes, for a time, maybe things are going to look good for us, and maybe it'll be good, pleasurable to us, but eventually all that's going to be taken away. No matter how much money, no matter how much fame or power or anything else we have in this life, when we die, it's all going to be left behind. The only thing that'll be important is where we stand before God. The day we die, that seals eternity for us. And Moses maybe didn't fully comprehend that idea yet, but he certainly had an understanding that it was important to do God's will above everything else. But he also came through the life that he had. He had a proper sense of values. Notice what it says in Hebrews chapter 11, and after saying verse 25, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin, verse 26, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches, greater than the treasures in Egypt, for he looked into the reward. So Moses was looking not at the physical things around him. Now you think about, you know, we've probably all seen on TV or books and things about all of the fabulous wealth and treasures of Egypt from the tombs of the pharaohs and other things. And that was a reality in the days of Moses. He lived in one of the most powerful times of the kingdom of Egypt. And there was gold and silver and all these riches that he had there available for him. Because he was adopted descendant of Pharaoh. But it says, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt. Now Christ was not going to come for another 1,500 years. But there was a promise that had already been made almost from the beginning, all the way back to Genesis chapter 3, that there was going to be a Christ, a Messiah, that was going to come. And Moses, of course, did not live to see him on this earth. But if you go over to Matthew chapter 17, Mount Transfiguration, well, who was there? Well, it was Moses and Elijah with Christ. So Moses did live after his death to see Jesus himself come as the Messiah, the Christ. But it says he esteemed the reproach of Christ better than the riches of Egypt. In other words, that spiritual part was more important than any physical thing he could receive in Egypt. That he understood that there was a greater thing that was promised to those who would be faithful to the will of God. And in that sense, he looked forward to this coming of Christ. If you go back in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 13, there was a sort of an explanation of this in this passage. In Hebrews 11, 13, it talks about those who had gone before with Abraham and Sarah and Noah and these others. And it says, these all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them from afar off, and were assured of them, embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. I was talking about Abraham and those who were faithful before him and up to Moses and everyone else. And verse 14 says, for those who say such things declare plainly that they seek a homeland. And truly, if they had called to mind that country from which they had come out, they would have had an opportunity to return. But now they desire a better, that is, a heavenly country. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. So he says, those who came out of Egypt, those who came out of the slavery there, or other things they come out of to serve the true God, if they were not thinking about the things of the future, the coming of Christ, the Messiah, and those things, they might have returned back to where they were from. In fact, Moses had to put up with the people of Israel in the wilderness wandering, and several times they said, why did you bring us out into the desert to kill us with thirst and with hunger? Why can't we just go back and have the vegetables and onions and all those things we had in Egypt? Well, Moses had to explain to them what the important thing truly was. And of course, that most of that first generation that came out of Egypt, the ones over 20 years of age, all of them died. And only Joshua and Caleb over that age entered the land of promise. Even Moses himself didn't. But the young ones under 20 years of age, most of them were the most faithful generation of the Israelite nation ever, because they were firsthand seeing the things that God did for them and that he gave them the land of promise. And so when it talks about what Moses was doing here, he esteemed the reproach of Christ better than the riches of Egypt. He saw the pursuit of spiritual things was much more important than the pursuit of physical things. In Matthew chapter 6 and verse 33, Jesus, in chapter 6 of Matthew, he talks about how people worry about having clothing and food and shelter and things of this life. Well, Jesus' conclusion, Matthew 6:33, was seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. But you have to put our faith and trust in God. Well, that's what Moses did. That's the example that he set. But also he made decisions based upon eternal things, not physical things. Go back to Hebrews 11, verse 27. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. In other words, he endured because he saw the things of God. Now, it was later on. This was before God revealed himself in the burning bush and later throughout Moses' life. Verse 28, by faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, as he who destroyed the firstborn should touch them. So Moses used his influence and his teaching and his direction to get them to understand that if they put the blood on the side posts and the lintel post of the door, that the Lord would pass over and the firstborn of their house would not die. And that was completely on faith. It had never happened before. But God said, if you'll do that, we'll pass over and there will not be the death of the firstborn. Verse 29, by faith they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land. Well, it was Moses' faith that guided them to do this, and it was the faith of the Israelites to go through. It says, whereas the Egyptians attempting to do so were drowned. And we could certainly go on in that particular passage, but it showed Moses' great courage and his faith, even the possible death. So, verse 27, he says, by faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. So he trusted in the God that he could not see. Now think about that. When he was in Egypt, they had all these gods around them everywhere. All kinds of idols and all kinds of things they worshipped. The sun, the moon, the stars, the Nile River, all of those things were points of worship for them. So Moses could see all these gods that they erected for themselves. But he chose to follow the invisible God, the one he could not see. And that was his great faith. We have to be encouraged to do the same thing. Now, turn over for a moment to Colossians chapter 3. Colossians 3 and verse 1. It says, if then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. Now when Moses chose to do what he did, he could not see this God. This God had never talked to him before. Moses didn't understand that when he was just a baby, he was delivered from death by the power of God. But he says, but he did so. He chose to serve the true God. Verse 2 of Colossians chapter 3. Set your mind on things that are above, not on things on the earth. Well, Moses chose the spiritual over the physical. That's what we need to do. Verse 3, for you died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When we believe and obey the gospel of Christ, our life becomes hidden with Christ in God the Father. In chapter 2 and verse 12 of Colossians, it says, we are buried with him in baptism, in which also you are raised with him through faith in the working of God who raised him from the dead. So compare that with chapter 3, verse 3. For you died. We died to all the old ways and were raised to walk in new life. It says your life is hidden with Christ in God. Verse 4. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Well, that's what Moses looked forward to. It says there in chapter 11, verse 13. They died in faith. They didn't see the fulfillment, but they knew it was going to come. We look at that and realize we live in a world that's not any less corrupt or necessarily any more corrupt than the time of Moses. The question is, then what is our choice going to be? Moses made his, and we have to make ours every day. We have to make decisions based upon not the immediate situation in this physical world we live in, but looking forward to the time when Christ is going to come again. And then we'll stand before him on the day of judgment. And tonight, if you need to come, if you do need to come for some reason, won't you do so as we stand and as we sing.